Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Tara.
All right, so texture rates. I am so stupid. I don't know how much taxes I pay. I depend on CNN to tell me. Unfortunately, I think that is the route most of the country takes. Yeah. And unbelievable numbers. The New York Times saying, you know, basically all these people who got a tax cut don't believe they did because the media told them they didn't.
You know, I can't remember who said it. It may have been Rush, may have been somebody else, but they were lamenting that the worst thing we've ever done is have withholding out of our paychecks because we don't really think about it. We don't see it. We don't. The money's taken before we ever get it. And that if we actually had to write a check on April 15th for all of our taxes, on one day, one check. Think of the impact that would have.
Texture writes, my niece, who made $9,000 last year, got $8,000 in taxes, you know, back. Basically, she doubled her income because she had a baby. Oh, yeah. Hospital cost $0. See, that's the problem.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you. You're welcome. Texture writes, budget deficit this year now predicted at $1.1 trillion and getting worse. Where are the true conservatives? We're busy working to pay that bill. No one else cares because they're not paying it. Think about it. You don't pay taxes. You don't have to pay any of it back. So what do you care? I mean, they'll care when it all crashes and burns. But, you know, beyond that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really just, you know, incredibly frustrating. Texter writes, no moral compass leads to chaos, corruption, tyranny, and the death of nations. And finally, on the last segment, Texter writes, wow, between the human chain and Ralph, I am in tears. Didn't mean to do that. Just put those two things side by side. All right, I wanted to hit you with this crazy theory I have, okay?
Okay.
Let me just run it by you. I might be totally, out of touch here, okay? There's an article in the Wall Street Journal. Baby boomers and the art of parenting adult kids. And it talks about all these studies. This is parents today are more involved with grown children than previous generations. Many baby boomers struggle with letting them go. And it talks about the difference between this generation of parents who are, again, baby boomers and parents of the past. And how basically boomers are also the first group of parents in this psychological era when therapy became more commonplace and relationships were closely examined. And they said that, you know, that their own parents were concerned about a child being safe, getting a job, getting married. They didn't obsess about how they were feeling about you, how you're doing. And so they say that parents today, you know, in a lot of ways, that's good, but that, you know, parents today are so much more involved in kids' lives from maybe they're living in the basement all the way on up to kids calling for financial advice and calling for advice on your mortgage and calling for advice about your life. And in a way, basically saying that these parents are still parenting psychologically through adulthood in a way that parents have not really done in the last couple generations.
I think that's accurate.
Here's just a quote. My self-identity, this is from one of the boomer parents. My self-identity is very closely tied to my relationship with my children. I don't think that was the case with my dad. He was wrapped up in his business, he says. While he sometimes wonders if too much advice seeking and advice giving is a good thing, he's also felt a little disappointed that his youngest daughter didn't involve him when she and her husband bought a house. So this is the mindset they're getting at. Here's another one. Pittsburgh resident Art DeConsilis, 58, remembers when he and his wife Mary Pat got married. It was sink or swim, he says. Their parents offered little help or financial or support or even advice. Today, his three adult children, all married and living near their Pittsburgh home, frequently call for advice about work, buying a home, or starting a family. He's happy to offer it. And so they're basically saying that this psychological parenting is much more common and much more accepted now. Is that a good thing?
I think it's both good and bad. I think anything where we maintain familial relationships, and I mean that, you know, obviously, you know, c- communicating, you know, how things are going and keeping those ties there. I think that's important. But once it gets to the point where you are over-involved and you are making decisions as opposed to being consulted on them, it's I think it's gone too far then.
And it talks about a lot of these parents upset when their kids don't want to hang out with them. So that may be a little over the top. But, you know, here's why I'm wondering, okay? So we talk a lot about the whole, you know, parenting thing and kids not adulting and all that kind of stuff, right? And we talked about recently the near record high in Americans 18 to 34 living with their parents, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Right now, 32% of Americans 18 to 34 live with their parents. Now, that is generally thought to be a horrible thing. And it is if you're mooching off your parents, you're not working. That's really bad, okay? I get that. But are we merely returning to how it was historically? Because here's the thing. If you go back 130 years ago, the percentage of Americans 18 to 34 in the census living with their parents was higher, was 35%. If you go back to the 1940s, you see that number again. This is from NPR. It's my source. Pew Notes, they're quoting the Pew Charitable Trust. Pew Notes, this 32% of Americans 1834 is a modern day high, but it's not an all time high. Pew notes that it is not a record high. In 1940, approximately 35% of people in that age range lived at home. So, man, you had a close relationship then because mama was right down the hall. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? You couldn't avoid her. And she probably let you know what she thought, right? Because your mama always does.
And it probably wasn't a split-level ranch either.
No, I know. So have we had such economic prosperity that we actually did an unusual thing in kids moving out when they turned 18 or 19?
Interesting. Okay.
You know, and perhaps, I mean, if we lived together, you have to presume the relationship would have been more robust, like they're talking about in the Wall Street Journal.
Well, and I would think that if we, back in the time when things were much more rural and you had, you know, family farms and you had, you know, not just children working on the farm, but then adult children working on the farm and continuing the family farm, that would make sense.
One of the most interesting things I ever did was get an ancestry account and go back and find like all four branches of my family, you know, as my grandparents. And I learned so many shocking things. And one of the most shocking things that I learned going back, I kid you not, even 500, 600 years, when you could do that. And you know, my branch of family in Germany, they kept really good records. The government did. You saw something very surprising, especially in the census last couple of hundred years. They were all living, even including the men, they were living at home to their mid-20s when they left to get married. Generation after generation after generation. The women were usually a few years younger than the guys. They were usually early 20s when they left home to get married. But you lived at home till you got married, saved enough money to do that, and then you moved out. And then an interesting thing happened in the next couple of census books. It was always the same. You moved out in your 20s only when you got married. So people were living with their parents well into their 20s. I mean, that was my whole family, all four branches. That was the norm in America. Well, and 20 years later, I'm looking at the census, which is every 10 years, right? And guess what? Now mom and dad have moved in with you.
Yeah.
And so it was very usual, in fact, norm to live at home until you got married. And then it was the norm for mom and dad to move in with you.
Well, that's...
So families live together. So are we returning? I mean, has this lack of parenting and helping by the parents hurt these generations, maybe left them guideless in a way?
Yeah, I think something can certainly be said for learning from your own errors and actually having to pay for the consequences of those errors. In other words, not having mom and dad bail you out, but you having to deal with it and live through it and learn from it.
Texture writes, the nuclear family is what's unusual. That's what I'm getting at. For centuries, several generations of families would live under the same roof. How would you describe parenting then? Well, parenting was a group activity by the family. So, they, you know, this whole idea of, oh, my gosh, he didn't move out of my basement. That's terrible. Well, okay, maybe not. I mean, is he gainfully employed? Is he saving money for a down payment on a house?
Yeah.
Or is he just mooching off of you? Yeah. If not... Historically, that's a pretty typical arrangement for families. They pulled together to pay the bills. They lived together. They made decisions together. They were intimately involved in each other's lives. And that gives you an emotional support system. It's. It, I mean, think about that. If the typical thing was to have your parents living with you, then Lee, maybe life is more stressful for modern parents. They're parenting alone when mom and dad for centuries, generations, would have been living in the house and helping. And it's not a disaster as we're seeing it today. That's a return to the norm.
Interesting.
It's just a theory. Yeah. I'm looking at it, and I think it's interesting to put it in perspective.
Well, I'll put it this way. I would be happier with more people depending on family than opposed to depending on government.
Yeah, and I think they used to. I think that's the difference.
Well, they used to have to.
Yeah, they had
to. There used to be no Social Security. There were few companies that offered you retirement benefits or pension plans or things like that. And, you know, your pension plan was the family. Your retirement was the family. That's family took care of family. And now we are, you know, pawning that off to Uncle Sam.
Oh, this text is brilliantly. It summarizes exactly what you're saying. Family is the smallest unit of government.
Ah, brilliant. Brilliantly put.
Yes. And, it is, and it was, and that is completely gone. So, you know, perhaps the next time people are wondering, these millennials are living at home. Well, you know, it's because the economic conditions are closer to what they always have been, and that's the norm, not the unusual. And is it a bad thing for families to be physically living together if they're not, you know, mooching off each other? It's not a, you know, toxic or negative relationship. I don't know, but I'll tell you this. I don't make many major decisions without calling dad. I just want to have his input, not because I can't do it myself,
right,
but because, man, the guy's over 70 years old. He has so much wisdom on everything.
But the thing is, though, you're calling him, which means he's not in the same house with you.
No, he's just down the road.
Well, you know.
But his advice is just priceless,
of
because
course.
He's done it all
yeah.
more times than me.
Yeah.
And I depend on it.
Well, that's the way I looked at my parents and grandparents when I still had them.
Yeah.
And always valued their input.
A lot of people reacting to the last segment. This whole people moving back in with their parents thing was the norm. We treat it as a bad thing, but is it? Had a bunch of stats to support that, including a record high for modern times at 32% of Americans 18 to 34 living at home with their parents. We treat that as a terrible thing, but it's not an all-time record. It was higher in 1940. 35% lived with their parents. And 130 years ago was the norm. You lived with your parents till you got married. And as I saw in my family and looking on Ancestry, going back, fascinating, look at those census records. It'll change the way that you look at your family and at life. The norm was usually within a decade or two after you moved out to get married, usually in your 20s when you'd saved enough money to do so, your parents moved in with you. So you spent the better part of your life living together as an extended family, not a nuclear one. And boy, does that explain what's missing from our society, all of the stress on a couple that lives alone, mom and dad are somewhere else. Mom and dad used to be living with you. You think that would be, I mean, it's so helpful with the kids. More than two adults in a household to help with the parenting burden, whether that's a physical burden where it's small children, but a kind of an emotional burden raising kids into an adulthood and guiding them. Texter writes, lost my dad and stepdad within 4 days of each other, and I wish all the time I could call them for advice. Boy, do I wish I could call my mom. My mom was just brilliant. There was no problem I could give her, and it could be just, you know, politics at work. You'd think it was an intractable, impossible problem. How do I solve this? I could give it to my mom, and I'd give her, like, you know, 24, 48 hours to churn it through that brain of hers, and she could find a solution. Like nobody else. And that was irreplaceable when she died, still is. I have so many things. I'm like, I know mom could fix this if I could just call her. She was just so good at that kind of stuff, at seeing through the BS and figuring out how I could cut through it too and help myself in a way that wouldn't hurt, you know, hurt me at work or, you know, with friendships or whatever it was, relationships. She was so good at that. Texter writes, having parents and grown kids in the house really cuts down on the piano practice. Y'all. Oh, I don't know. If you go back and look at the census, they found a way to do it. They had far more children than they do today. Somehow, right? Where there's a will and a piano. Never mind. Texter writes, H-E double hockey sticks. Yeah, Lee, family first. Texter writes, Mill Village civilization now gone. Yeah. And finally, Texter writes, historically, kids live with their parents until marriage because of their service to the family. Yes. Kids today go to rooftop bars, wear designer clothes, and drive nice cars while living with parents who make their food and do their laundry. Yeah, you're right. It's a different, it is a different mindset, isn't it? All right. Robert in Clinton. Hey, Robert.
Hey there, Tara. Hey, listen, I agree with the last comment there. This has nothing to do with building up a dowry or taking care of your parents or honoring the family name because you had 200 acres, and there's no way you could have bought 200 acres back then, no matter how hard you worked in most cases. So the whole reason that kids are staying at home versus our generation, the boomers, which were smother love to death, and we rejected everything, often cutting our parents off for years without contact. The whole reason is the college-educated, Tide Pod-eating, tattooing, go-to-Coachella lifestyle you can't survive, you can't eat, you can't have fun. So mom and dad, they will step over your, they probably want to attend your funeral. Because you're simply there to serve them.
Oh.
And they are, and I regret saying it, but the best thing you could do for parents, mentioning Coachella, I could tell you something. This might sound silly, but mom and dad need to kind of rediscover a conservative version of their hippie roots and declare independence from their children and go tour the country, buy a school bus, whatever. Go to a music festival, a good one, and just say, kids, you're welcome to come along, but hey, yo-yo, your own.
Yeah, and well, see, and Robert, you have just perfectly encapsulated sort of the modern mindset. And I'm kind of talking about an older mindset when something is missing. And that was the whole family kind of pulling together and living together and making it work. But you're right. In terms of kids moving back in today, even if they're self-supporting, the relationship might be different. I hear what you're saying. Makes sense. And thank you for your phone call. 800-347-1063, Common Sense Retirement Planning text line 71307. Texter writes, when I was 18, you could work at McDonald's and still have enough money to pay for an apartment, car, insurance, and still party all weekend. I bet that's true. I believe that. Okay, here's what's going on right here, Lee.
Okay.
Okay, headline right now on Fox News. Trump indicates he wants to move forward with plan to take detained migrants to sanctuary cities. Okay, what inspired this? Sunday, a week ago, I saw, to my astonishment, the first report the tide had turned. It was done by Chris Cuomo at CNN.
Mm-hmm.
And for 5 months, going back, slightly before the midterms, is the caravans, proceeded toward the border. They were there. You could photograph them. CNN at one point embedded themselves in them. They told us there were no caravans. Well, like there might be, but they weren't going to make it to the border. There was no crisis, and there's like no illegals on the border. I mean, it was made up by Trump, right? Okay, and the tide turned on Sunday, a week ago, and I said these are Democrat talking points, and they have decided in their internal polling that it hurts Trump more to acknowledge the crisis at the border and then blame it on him. With something along the lines of, oh, wow, this didn't happen to Obama. Obama could manage it better. It's Trump's fault. And that way you could demoralize Trump supporters, blame the illegal immigrant crush on, some sort of mismanagement, some sort of ethereal, vague mismanagement, and you could pin it on him. Now, this is right around the time Trump switches gears and starts saying, okay, I'm going to ship these illegals who aren't at our border to your sanctuary cities. And now the Democrats are like, wait, hold up. No, you can't do that. Well, I thought there weren't any illegals at the border. I thought there was no crisis. So what do you care if we ship them to sanctuary mm-hmm. cities? And that's why I think Trump has switched gears. He sees that they intend to blame this whole thing on him. So he's changing the subject and pointing to where the magnet is for the illegals. And of course, it's the left. This is a brilliant way to do it. Okay. You guys are the ones with sanctuary cities. I'll just ship the illegals to you if I can't stop them at the border because your judges have barred me from doing so. It's brilliant. And he did. He changed the topic. They were ready to go full bore on him. I mean, here's a sample of what they were rolling out.
Live from Hidalgo, Texas, this is the Rio Grande Valley. You're going to witness the systemic failure of the present and the tragic potential for our immediate future. This migrant situation is called a crisis, but you know what? That word is overused and doesn't do the situation justice.
Literally a week after he last told us there was no crisis. A little over a week, it was 8 days. After Chris Cuomo stood in front of that camera and said, there's no crisis, it's a lie. The Trump president made it up. So Trump had to counter that because that wasn't going to go well for him because the American people were never going to find out it was liberal judges that have tied his hands, that his plans would work to stop the flood at the border. So I think this is a brilliant turnabout by him. This is exactly why he's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's got them back on the defensive. Oh, us? No, we don't want illegals coming to our city. Then why are you offering them free health care?
Right.
Meanwhile, watch this, Lee. I've been warning about this for a long time. There are going to be terrible consequences, and they're unavoidable, to Trump defeating the caliphate and wiping it from the face of the earth. And I told you, it's been a year now since ISIS has acknowledged it cannot control territory in the Trump era, which was really cool, but everybody ignored it. And, you know, like I said, their caliphate, 30 to 40,000 strong, is gone, so they no longer have a base of which to attack. So they're going to have to go back to their old ways since they can't control territory anymore. And what would they do? And they have told us what they're going to do. They are going to send their fighters from Syria and Iraq and the other places where they've been pushed out, and they're going to send them to Europe, Canada, and the United States to begin doing attacks because they don't have anything else to do with their property now that, you know, their time now that they don't have any property, thanks to Trump and the Russians.
Yeah.
So here, new breaking news, plans for a series of Islamic terrorist attacks across Europe in emulation of the Bataclan massacres in Paris, France, have been revealed. In a letter to the Islamic State self-appointed caliph, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, uncovered by the Sunday Times of London, six jihadist leaders describe how they will use a number of so-called crocodile cells to acquire funds for terrorist operations through violent crime and perpetrate mass casualty terrorist attacks against European civilians. So they're going to do bank robberies, hacking of banks, killing infidel venture capitalists, kidnappings. He says that's where they're going to get the money.
It almost sounds like the Mexican drug cartel, doesn't it?
What? No, I'm glad you brought that up because they even lay out, because we're so stupid in the West, they even lay out how they plan to get to Europe. The Sunday Times, the letter also describes how radical Islamic terrorists will be smuggled into Europe from the territory once occupied by al-Baghdadi's shattered caliphate and the wider Middle East, Central Asia regions. Sunday Times says the fighters from Europe, Arabia, the Russian Federation, and the Caucasus will travel mainly via Turkey by way of Syria, while Iranians and Central Asians will travel via Iran, directed by a particular jihadist responsible for bringing in the migrants and taking out brothers who have been given jobs. And so they tell us how they're going to get here. They tell us where they're going to go. They tell us what they're going to do. Oh, there's even a list of targets, by the way. They're going to hit oil pipelines. They're going to hit, where did this go? There's a paragraph here. I'm sorry. Oh, oil pipelines, past German passenger trains, petroleum refineries. Oh, and they're going to enter via European Union's borderless Schengen zone.
No.
So they put it all in detail because they are so confident that us morons in the West will do nothing to stop them.
Well,
and they're right.
They're pretty much a history of that.
Yeah. They even say in the article, you know, in the letter, mark our words, these are our targets, we're coming. Now, you put that together with what the president of Guatemala has warned us. We're catching ISIS fighters coming through here. We've caught over 100. They're embedding in the caravans and they're heading your way. And we're like, oh, okay, cool. Whatever. Send them to New York and get some free health care there. And a free college scholarship if he's an illegal immigrant. So, I mean, it's amazing that they know us so well, they can tell us what's coming.
Yeah.
And that they are shifting from their battlefield plans, Lee, to plans to just go back and start doing the kind of attacks they were doing in Syria and Iraq, and they're going to do them in the West. Mainly in Europe, but also here and in Canada. They're telling us it's coming. It's going to be a mess. Next couple of years, if this is the case.
Well, just like you said, we've got a history of ignoring stuff like this.
Yeah, we think we can just have open borders and it'll work out great. Well, most of the people coming are good people. Yeah, see, but that's the problem. It only takes, you know what I mean, 12, 15 bad people and you got a mess on your hands. And grind an economy to a halt if they do it right.
If we're not careful, some people may do something.
Now, see, Lee, you know, don't make Trump put out a tweet about you. Don't make him do it.
Oh, yeah, I guess I am tempting fate there.
By the way, I thought his tweet was absolutely brilliant on Ilhan Omar, where he flat out said that Nancy Pelosi has lost control of Congress and the Democrat Party, and that Ilhan Omar and AOC are running it.
Yeah, because but through social media and the left-wing media, they've been able to bypass the leadership of the Democrat Party. That's exactly what they've done. They've done it brilliantly. I don't think they necessarily knew they'd be able to do that, but took their chances. And now you've got the likes of Beto O'Rourke, Robert Francis, Ilhan Omar and her other sisters in communism up there, and able to bypass the leadership and get straight to the American media and the American people.
Here's the tweet from Trump. Before Nancy, who has lost all control of Congress and is getting nothing done, decides to defend her leader, Representative Omar, she should look at the anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, and ungrateful U.S. hate statements Omar has made. She is out of control, except for her control of Nancy. Boy, does that nail it.
Mm-hmm. It certainly does. And now I was intrigued with this comment that Pelosi was making, too, about how a glass of water with a D on it could get elected in these Democrat stronghold districts. And she's right. And then what does that say about the voters in that district?
They don't question much.
Right. See, that's the difference between liberals and conservatives. I sincerely believe that conservatives, and I'm not talking about Republicans, I'm talking about conservatives, mm-hmm. are much more interested in the policies and voting records of the people they elect than they are about the party. And that's why we have an outsider president right now.
Yeah, good point. Because nothing they said about Trump stopped him. He was a Democrat. He was once for gun control. It was amazing what was overlooked in electing him. The moral stuff, too.
And I mean,
in his personal life.
And look at what... Here you got Fox News touting their town hall with Bernie Sanders. When's the last time CNN invited Republicans on to do a town hall? When's the last time MSNBC did that?
I don't get why they did that.
I think it's fine. I have absolutely no problem. Quite honestly, I think it speaks well to Bernie Sanders that he's got the guts to go do it and take them on. And the same thing for Fox News. They've got the guts to have him on there and let him do that. I think that Fox News is trying to show that they can be nonpartisan when it comes to news, which I honestly still think Fox News does a decent job of, in their news reporting, being just as dishonest as some of the left-wing media is on some of their news reporting, because sadly so much of what we get for news in this country comes straight from the Associated Press, which has a bias against anything conservative, Republican, certainly against President Trump. There's no question about that. But they're making an effort to at least have a balanced conversation. I guess that's what I'm really getting at, that they're trying to bring some balance there. That is something you never see from CNN, MSNBC, anybody else. Maybe a little bit CBS, not so much. But the rest of the networks, no interest. No interest at all. At least they're giving it an effort.
Oh, going back to what you were referring to, Ralph writes, "Hey, Tara, enjoy the burn. Cat fight. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi takes another shot at Socialist Representative Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, saying a glass of water with a D next to it would win her district." Yeah, she's trying to get her power back.
Yeah.
Trump's right. She's lost control. She doesn't look like she's in control. She does not look like she's in control.
No, not at all.
She's not. To the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line we go. Texter writes, AOC, Tara, is hotter than Nancy, too. Well, I mean, that's of course, a consideration, I suppose. Texter writes, CNN had Governor Weld on yesterday. He's the one running against Trump. Lindsey Offen, Kasich Offen. Good point, though. CNN should invite POTUS to do a town hall for an hour. I'd watch that. Like WWF. Oh, my. Texter writes, who cares about I think they mean political party. The two sides, they are two sides of the same coin. It's all, about results. Another texter writes, my parents couldn't be together in the same room until 20 years later. I'm sorry. Now I have a kid, and they have been better to be around each other. I said it was important for my daughter to have them be civil together. Well, I'm glad that they were able to work it out enough to be civil together. Texter writes, I wonder if the caliphate might call for the burning down of churches. Oh, by the way, I just reported on Fox News within the last half an hour that the burning of the Notre Dame Cathedral is being investigated as an accident. How on earth do they know that at this early stage? Why would you say that? We don't know. I mean, they don't know. Maybe it is. I don't know. Text writes, beat the dead horse to death. There's a liberal bias in the media. It's existed for 30 years. You can talk about it all day long. It's not going to make it go away. No, but if you can make people aware of it, they are less likely to be taken in by it. Texter writes, most illegals are nonviolent criminals, but one life lost to gun violence is one life too many. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what you believe if you're on the left. Of course, if your life is lost to gun violence by illegals, then it doesn't count. Make sense? No? Just memorize it. It's how it is. Texter writes, AOC is hotter than Pelosi? A snapping turtle is hotter than Pelosi. All right. Settle down on the text line. All right. Texter writes, David from Easley, the younger generation spends their money on their wants, doesn't leave enough for their needs. Texter writes, Mueller report must be bad for POTUS. Release Thursday, close of business. Good Friday means three-day weekend for bad news with no one listening. DJT, that's Donald J. Trump, I assume, already in prevent defense with tweets. Sad. No, not sad. Oh, no. There are a couple of paragraphs in the Mueller report. I haven't seen it. I don't need to see it to tell you this. There's a couple paragraphs in the Mueller report that were designed from a public relations standpoint to be used as crutches for the continuation of the Russia collusion story by the media. They were written that way. The media knows they're there and that they got to get the report to use them. And so these are going to be paragraphs that were always meant to be released. They are more public relations than fact, and they're in the Mueller report. I guarantee. I don't even see it to know that. Guaranteed to twist the findings and cast doubt on whether Trump really is a criminal and there really was collusion with Russia. It's in there. Media knows it. They got to get them. How do I know it's in there? Because 18 people, 17 of whom donated to Hillary or Obama, made up the entirety of the team that did it. Do you think they're capable of writing a fair report that's unbiased and nonpartisan? They're nothing but partisan. In fact, I mean, if we were going to have a fair go of it, we'd have a special prosecutor made up of nothing but Republican donors to investigate the Democrats and the FBI. That'd be fair. Nothing's ever fair in this country. So on Thursday, we'll find out what landmines the 17 Democrat donors left in the Mueller report. We'll take them very seriously as if they were nonpartisan and very unbiased. What a joke.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.